In 1951, the prolific Somerset Maugham of Human Bondage, The Razor's Edge, The Moon and Sixpence took the podium at the National Book League in London. Yes, he got many letters from would-be writers seeking counsel, but one stamped Boston really stood out.
I am going to read you now one such letter that I received a long time ago and the correspondence which ensued. The writer was a lady who lived in Boston, which, as you know, its inhabitants look upon as the center of American culture, and in Beacon Street, to live in which is an indication of wealth and consequently of social distinction. My dear Mr. Maugham, I hope you will pardon a total stranger writing to you and will give a few minutes of our valuable time to answering a question which I am going to put to you. I am sure you are very busy, and I would not take the liberty of asking your advice if I were not fully determined to take it. To cut a long story short, my son is about to leave Harvard and has determined to adopt the profession of literature. His intention is to write chiefly fiction, and I should be very grateful if you would tell me in a few words how he can best fit himself for such a career. I am anxious to do everything in my power to assist him. Cordially yours, Francis Van Buren Hale. I was at the time staying in New York, and I answered the letter promptly. My dear Mrs. Hale, I wrote, give your son $1,000 a year for 5 years. Tell him to go to the devil. Yours very faithfully, W.S. Maugham. I should tell you that $1,000 then was, of course, worth a great deal more than it is now. The lady replied by return of post. My dear Mr. Maugham, I am at a loss to understand your answer to my letter. I do not think my request was unreasonable, and I cannot think that it deserved a reply which, if I hesitate to call uncivil, you will not be surprised if I consider strangely flippant in an author of your standing in the literary world. I regret that I troubled you and beg to remain yours truly, Francis Van Buren Hale. To this I return the soft answer that turneth away wrath. My dear Mrs. Hale, I am much grieved that you were displeased with my letter. I had no wish to be impolite, and I was very much in earnest. I was brief, which I thought you wished me to be, and I gave you advice which I knew to be direct and which I thought was sensible. Your son is about to leave Harvard, and therefore may be presumed to possess at least the rudiments of a liberal education. I can imagine no better grounding for anyone who desires to be a writer. And from the address from which you write, I judge that he has been brought up in affluent circumstances. He will doubtless have spent most of his life among ladies and gentlemen. This is a class which, from a literary standpoint, rests now under a cloud. But it ventures still to exist, and it is well for the writer to know its manners and customs. Your son, I suppose, has led a sheltered life, and at his age can hardly have gained much knowledge of the world. I do not know how better you can help him to acquire this than by taking the advice I gave you. On $1,000 a year, he can't starve. But if he is of an adventurous disposition, and unless he is, he will not desire to be a writer, he will often find himself penniless and so obliged to do whatever he can to earn his supper. That is not bad training. On this sum, moreover, he can travel all over the world, but only in conditions that will throw him in contact with all kinds and conditions of men. He will not be able to afford the luxury of respectability. Besides, in telling him to go to the devil, You will have explained to him that you mean him to attach the widest possible meaning to that hackneyed phrase. If he has any spirit, he will soon find an infinite number of ways and means to carry out your suggestion. And in 5 years, he will have gathered experience and an acquaintance with men and women which cannot fail to be of great value to him as a writer. If at the end of this period he cannot write, then you must console yourself with the reflection that he lacks what no thought of yours nor advice can give him, talent. Yours very faithfully. I did not receive an answer to this for nearly a week. Dear Mr. Morm, I am sorry if I sounded a little abrupt, but I will frankly confess that I could make neither head nor tail of your first letter. Of course, I see now that you had no wish to be discourteous or flippant, but all the same, I don't think I quite agree with the things you say. Surely, it is not necessary for an author to live in a disreputable way any more than it is necessary for a violinist or poet to wear long hair. Miss Austen wrote her admirable novels without ever leaving the respectable circle in which she was born. And Mr. Henry James, whose novels I am sure you appreciate as highly as I do, never, to my knowledge, moved in any world but that to which he was entitled by his birth and position. It was my privilege to know Mrs. Wharton for many years, and though she lived so long in France, I can vouch from personal knowledge for the fact that she never ceased to be a refined and accomplished gentlewoman. I cannot help thinking this proves that there is no reason why an author should not write successful books without taking such a hazardous course as you propose for my son. But I dare say I did not put my original question quite clearly. What I really wanted your advice about was more the technique of novel writing, if you know what I mean. That is a matter on which a young author naturally stands in need of guidance. And I can only say on my behalf, as well as on my son's, that I should be sincerely grateful for any hints you can give him. Yours most cordially, Francis Van Buren Hale. I replied to this letter as best I could, and at considerable length, but I will not read to what I wrote, since I am going to tell you later much of what I said then. I received an answer after some days. Dear Mr. Morm, it is very good of you to have written me such a long and careful letter. But since I wrote to you last, my son, after mature consideration, has decided to go into the bomb business. which, with his heritage and connections, is, of course, very much more suitable. I do not suppose you will leave this country without coming to Boston. And when you do, Mr. Hale and I will have much pleasure in making your acquaintance. I shall be at home on the first and third Wednesdays of the month until then. Yours most cordially, Francis Van Buren Hale. I will admit that I hoped this correspondence would amuse you, but I didn't read it only to make you laugh. I read it because it draws attention to what I think is the most important part of the writer's equipment. That is his personality. It may be a pleasant one or an unpleasant one. That does not matter. In the final analysis, the value of a work of art depends on the artist's personality. It is that which colors his work with a peculiar tang that gives it interest. Now, I think it is in an author's power to mold his personality. Of course, life will to some extent mold it for him, as it does for all of us. We are all creatures of circumstance, and we should none of us be what we are, but for our environment and the happy accidents, chance encounters, trials, pains and pleasures which have befallen us. But his personality is the writer's stock in trade, and it is worth his while by deliberate effort to develop it. All experience, even the most ordinary and insignificant, is grist to his mill. He should not sit around and wait for experience to come to him. He should go in search of it. He should expose himself willingly to all the vicissitudes of life, accepting pain as well as pleasure, failure as well as success, in the assurance that everything that happens to him will enrich him. Life is the novelist's business, and he can only know about it and write about it with truth and significance if he participates in it. But that is not enough. Without a great deal more than a nodding acquaintance with art and literature, science and philosophy, his personality will remain incomplete. He should, in short, be a man of wide culture. So may he develop his talent and gain the power to infuse whatever he writes with the idiosyncrasy, which is originality. As you see, I'm asking a great deal, but even yet I haven't done. It is no use for the writer to have a full, rich, and cultivated personality unless he has acquired the technique of the art of writing. However experienced you are, however competent, you never entirely conquer the difficulties of technique. And by the time you have learned to write, not as well as you'd like to, none of us ever do that, but as well as you can, it is only too likely that you will have nothing more to write about. The only valid and sensible reason I know for adopting the profession of literature is that you have so strong and urgent a desire to write that you simply cannot resist it. Unfortunately, however, the strength and urgency of your desire does not guarantee that you will write anything that is worth writing. But of course, if someone is under that compulsion to write, compulsion it should be, that really doesn't matter so much. He may succeed or he may fail, but in any case, he will have enjoyed the intense pleasure of creation and fulfilled himself. He will lead a life of inexhaustible interest and enjoy, as few can in this world of today, the inestimable pleasure of freedom. Thank you.
Somerset Maugham, 1951. At Replay, we enjoy getting your feedback and segment suggestions. Mark writes, "The Wilfred Thomas Show, this really brought back memories. I would appreciate more." Well, all of you may remember we recently had Ingrid Bergman on Replay, and she was compliments of Wilfred. Mark, we do have an extensive archive of the Wilfred Thomas shows. They were played both on the BBC and the ABC, and we're currently looking at playing more. Wilfred Thomas, you may or may not know, was an Australian who made it very big in London. You can write to us or comment on individual segments at our website, abc.net.au/rn/replay. There you can also listen online and download podcasts. Next week, we launch Archivists August. During August, Replay will include a segment hand-picked by ABC Radio's senior archivist, John Spence. So, stand by for his first selection. Our sound engineer today was Louis Mitchell. Sarah Corbett is Replay's co-producer. I'm Kerry Jean Ross, and I'll see you soon. Let's go out today with Lauren Bacall. Boys.
Gee, thanks, fellas. What a raffle.
I'm one of the girls who's one of the boys, enjoying the jokes and the smokes and the noise. You wanna go fishing? Well, hand me the reel. I majored in poker, so shut up and deal. I'm one of the gals who's one of the guys, so put up your jukes and I'll blacken your eyes. Behind all the Bucci and pearls, I'm one of the boys, although I'm one of the girls.